Welcome to the holiday edition of the CharlieCast. Today, as I did in the last episode, I'm going to bring a story from my own family history. This one's concerning my father, Charlie W. Doc Stewart. Christmas 1965. Everything was cold and snowy in Amarillo, Texas. And at that point in time, Doc Stewart, my father, had a talk show in the afternoon. From about noon to one, right before the soap opera started. And it was just much like the Michael and Kelly show of today. There'd be a little cooking, a little exercise, a little news, a little this, little that. And every once in a while, they'd have a singer. Well, one of the greatest fans my father had was a woman by the name of Lula Mae Waldrop. I say woman, because in actuality, she was. 25, 30, somewhere in there. But in her mind, she was no more than 12 or 13. But she watched my father every day. And at the end of the show, my father said, if you had any ideas about anything to do for this show, give us a call. And so she got her pencil and paper and took down that number. And every once in a while, she'd call my father. And my father would placate and kind of give her a little bit of a runaround because he didn't want to hurt her feelings none. He says, well, darling, darling being the word they used back then, still do here in Texas, said, once you think you're good enough and you're all practiced up, come down and we'll put you on the show. And that offer was basically what you'd say, well, I can't put it any other way than he was patronizing her. But she didn't know that. So one Friday near Christmas, about the last Friday before Christmas, in fact, she showed up on the doorstep of the station, walked right in, and said, I'm Lula Mae Waldrop. Doc Stewart said I could be on the show today. And the receptionist said, really? Well, okay, I'll call back to his secretary. His secretary comes up to the front, and she finds this girl whose hair's a little askew, a little messed up, and her sweater's misbuttoned and kind of wrinkled, and she just kind of has a different kind of look. And Lula Mae proudly says, Doc Stewart said I could be on his TV show, and I'm here to do that today. So the secretary goes by and goes back to my dad's office and says, Doc, there's a little girl that says you told her to be on the show today. Her name's Lula Mae Waldrop. And my dad said, who? She goes, she says she's been calling you for ever so often for a while now, and you told her when she was good enough to come on and do the show. Oh, her, my dad said. Well, go tell her that we're booked. The lineup's filled today. There's nothing we could do. Well, knowing what she'd seen, secretary says, no, Mr. Showbiz. If you're such a high and mighty individual, you go to the lobby and tell her she can't be on the show today. My dad walks down the hall and gets to the lobby of the TV studio and sees Lula Mae waiting for him. And again, sees the same picture. Hair's a little askew. Buttons kind of misbuttoned. And she just kind of looks out of place. My dad said, Lula, we really can't use you today. You need to call ahead and make arrangements. There's no way we could put you on the show today. And as he looked in her eyes, he saw huge crocodile tears welling from her face. And the tears wouldn't stop. Almost like a waterfall. And my dad said, well, well, hold on. Let me see what I could do. Just wait right here and we'll have somebody come get you. So he goes back and checks with his producer and happens to be a rinky-tink piano player. He used to play in ski lodges and pizza parlors, same kind of piano player you'd see wearing garters on his sleeves and the whole wax mustache and every cliche you could think about when you think of a rinky-tink piano player. And he says, Doc, what does she want to do? And he says, well, she'd like to sing Silver Bells. He said, I think I can manage that. Why don't we put her on at the very end of the show, and if she's not that great, it's the end of the show, and if she's great, it works out. Well, as most of you people probably understand how these things normally work, she started into Silver Bells. and the voice could cut glass. It was akin to Lenora Jones in today's vernacular. She had a very powerful and all-consuming voice. It mesmerized you. And by the time the song was over, it was everybody on the cast and crew and the audience that welled up with the crocodile tears. And it was lovely. So her mother came and picked her up and waited for the, you know, and the performance aired. Well, it happens to be, this was the weekend before Christmas, and Lula Mae's church group was happening to go on a sing-along where they would sing carols in an open hayride. Hayrides were a thing back in the day. They're not so much now, but you'd get a bunch of stacks of hay, and you'd sit down on them, and you'd ride through the countryside, and you'd sing Christmas carols. Well, this one was going to be very special because it went from the top of the Paladura Canyon in the panhandle all the way to the very bottom, which is a pretty steep route. But they were all planned out. They were going to have cider after and Christmas presents, and it was going to be amazing. Well, they get halfway down, singing the carols, and bringing joy to the world in the manner they thought they could. And someone, a villainous person who was rather heartless and probably didn't have a soul, passed them in a brand new Mustang. And they thought it'd be some sort of prank or gag to throw a brick into that hayride wrapped as a Christmas present. So they flung the brick out of the window. Well, friends, you know who the only person it hit was. That's right, Lula Mae Waldron. Killed her on impact almost instantaneously. They took her to the hospital, but she was dead on arrival. So the news gets back to my father. They call him that weekend, and the newsroom doesn't tell him this is what had happened, and they found out it was the same girl that was on his show. Well, that Monday, my father called, you know, for any information leading to the capture of this villainous individual who would do such a thing, and talked about, you know, how he misjudged her, and how she was one of the true lights, and how she was now a misbuttoned angel. An angel that her hair was kind of messed up, her halo was probably on crooked, and her sweater was misbuttoned. And he always kept that vision in his mind. Well, cut to 2005. My father passed away. And everybody was mourning, as we all did, because it was a very sad time. But then a smile came upon my face as I realized when my father got to the gate at St. Peter's, there was going to be a little angel waiting to carry him in, with her hair a little askew, her sweater not quite right, and a big smile and a great voice to lead him into heaven.